Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Imagine you went to Margaret River with your friend. She looked around at this stunning landscape and she told you, "You know what? I really believe God wanted to give me this land." And you asked her, "Oh yeah, how do you know?" "Because last night, I read this verse, it can't be a coincidence. And the verse that I read says this, look around from where you are to the north and south, to the east and west, all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever." What would you say to her? You say, "Amen, you go girl, get it, claim that promise." Is that what you will say to her? Maybe not. You know why? Because a quick reading of the context will tell you that this promise is given to one specific guy named Abraham. And the land that is mentioned in this promise is not the land of Margaret River, it's the land of Canaan, specifically. So what do we do with promises such as this one? Today we're starting a brand new series, Out of the Shallows, and I believe God wants to take you out of the shallow end of your faith into the deep end of your faith. So this series is for everybody. For those of you who've been following Jesus a long time, and for those of you who are new to the faith, or maybe you're not even a follower of Jesus, but you are curious and you know there's something more than what you're seeing right now. And to kick off this series, I believe God wants to take us to a deeper end of our understanding of what it means to believe in the promises of God. There are a few things in life more comforting than knowing and believing that God can be trusted for His promises. Isn't that right? And there are hundreds of promises in our Bible. The question is, which one of these promises are for us? Which one of these promises, how many of them can we really claim for ourselves? You know, I've been in the ministry for quite a while and noticed this tendency among the Christians to assume that anything in the Bible that sounds like a promise is God's promise for them. That's our tendency. And we make mistakes in reading and understanding some of these promises, such as this one, for example. In Deuteronomy 5:33, it says, "Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, you may be protected, and prosper, and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." A lot of well-meaning, sincere Christians really believe that if they walk in obedience to God, they will be protected, they will be prosperous, and they will live a long life. Preachers such as myself preach a message like this, you know, if you follow God, you're going to get protection, provision, and you're going to live a long life. Again, the question is this true? Is this a promise that we can claim for ourselves? Or how about this one? This is very famous. "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Again, many godly, good parents believe in this promise of God that if they instruct their children well, God would keep them from harm. They really believe that. But how many of you, along with me, know that sometimes our experiences can be different with the promises of God? How many of you know people who are godly, walk in obedience, and yet you can't really call them prosperous? Some of them die young. How many of you know parents who instruct their kids well, but their kids grew up and they left the faith, they make bad decisions? How many of you know parents like that? Maybe you are such a parent. What do you make of these promises of God then? I believe when it comes to understanding the promises of God, we make two very, very common mistakes, all right? I don't want you to make these mistakes because I want you, God wants you to get out of the shallow end and into the deep end, okay? Don't make these two mistakes. Number one, Don't take God's promises out of context. You got to understand God's promises, every part of the scripture, actually. You can't take them out of context. Let's read what we just read in Proverbs, for example. Start children off on the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Guess where this was found? It's found in the book of Proverbs. You know what a proverb is? A proverb is simply a saying. It's a wise saying. That's what a proverb is. It is not technically even a promise. Do you know that? You know, a proverb, let me see. A proverb is not a promise. It is general principle for living. That's what a proverb is. So, for example, if you eat healthy, generally speaking, you will live longer. It's true, isn't it? If you are not lazy, generally, you're not going to be poor. But again, how many of you know people who eat healthy and yet they are sickly and they die young? How many of you know people who are not lazy and yet they are poor? So, you know, when you take the verses out of context, that's what can happen. It's true, generally speaking, if you start children off on the way they should go, generally speaking, when they are older, they will not turn from it. But believing in God's, you know, what you think is a promise from God is not going to make it come true if it's not a promise from God. Because how many of you know raising your children well doesn't exclude them from having their own free will? Am I right? Raising your children well doesn't exclude external forces and influence in their lives. Isn't that right? So that's why you have to take Proverbs for what it is. It is just a general principle for living. So that's mistake number one. You got to understand where the promise is in its context. Mistake number two, don't treat the old covenant the same way you treat the new covenant. Now, I got to explain this a little bit. A lot of Christians do this. They take a lot of the promises in the Bible and make them into these random promises like fortune cookies. I want to tell you something this morning. The Bible is not one giant fortune cookie that will tell you what to do or what God has promised you, okay? The Bible is divided into two halves. The first half is called the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. The second half is called the New Testament or the New Covenant. Now, you and I, we are New Covenant people. Do you know that? Amen. We are New Covenant people. And Jesus Christ ushered in this new era, this new covenant, you know, during the Lord's Supper. Do you remember? Jesus said, "This cup represents the new covenant in my blood." So, the new covenant. Covenant, by the way, it simply means agreement, right? The new covenant means God makes an agreement with you and I as followers of Jesus Christ. So generally speaking, the New Testament promises are for you and for me. But the old covenant, okay, you got to understand this. The old covenant is God's covenant with the people of Israel. It's not God's covenant with you. It's not God's covenant with me, okay? Having said that, we can learn general principle from the old covenant, for sure, because every scripture is God's breath, and it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and all that wonderful stuff. But you got to understand, this is where a lot of Christians stumble. Most of the promises that Christians today stumble over are part of God's covenant with the people of Israel. All right? And then Jesus came along to usher in this new covenant. By the way, the whole Bible is one unified story. All right? At the beginning, the way God dealt with humanity is similar to the way we deal with younger children. How do you deal with younger children? You deal with younger children with a system called reward and punishment. Am I correct? So if your children misbehave, for example, you say, "I'm going to take the iPad away from you." If they behave, you give them a sticker or you give them something as a reward. So this is very common in parenting. With younger children, this works, the system of reward and punishment. And that's exactly what God did with the people of Israel. God condescended, if you like, because God wants to be understood. That's what the people understood at the time. God condescended into this system of immediate reward and punishment to teach the people of Israel, if they walk in obedience to God, you know, it's important that they do walk in obedience to God, because God wants to make them a role model, an example for other nations to follow, that they are different, they're to live differently than other nations. But then Jesus came and turned this whole old covenant system upside down. God, through Jesus Christ, actually revealed a better way, the original way God wants to relate to humanity, you know, not through the system of reward and punishment. So Jesus removed all that. Do you know that? Jesus removed all that in the new covenant. That's why you will read in the old covenant, for example, if you trust and obey God, you will be blessed financially, right? But under the new covenant, Jesus says something totally different. Jesus says, if you are poor, you are blessed. In fact, Jesus gave warnings to those who are rich. Listen to Luke 6, 20, 24. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. By the way, poor here doesn't mean poor in spirit, like in Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. This is like poor, poor. This is like poor financially. You know, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. So be careful. If you are rich, it's not necessarily, I'm not saying that, you know, always that. It's not necessarily a sign of blessing from God. If you are rich, it's not necessarily a sign that you are obedient to God. You can be disobedient and, you know, scheming your way through to get your riches. So it's not a sign of anything, all right? You gotta understand what Jesus is saying. Under the old covenant, if you trust and obey God, you'll be protected from harm. That's God's promise. But listen, in the New Testament, New Covenant, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for this is the kingdom of heaven. So when you read promises in the Bible, you got to know the context, where it appears, and you got to differentiate between the old covenant, which is not your covenant, and the new covenant, which is our covenant with God, right? That's mistake number two that people make. Look at this. This is how you need to interpret the promises of God in the Bible. I'm going to give you a couple of tips, all right? This is not going to be very, very difficult. Number one, as I said before, if you are not supposed to take promises of God out of context, then what you do in order to understand the promises of God better is to make sure that you always look at the context where the promise appears, all right? We're going to do some exercises this morning. I give you this one, for example, Genesis 12. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I don't want you, now that you understand better, to read verses like this and say, aha, God must want me to move out of Australia to Singapore or somewhere. God wants me to move from Perth to Melbourne or to Sydney because this is what I read last night. Don't use that, all right, as an excuse. Don't read the Bible as fortune telling, and that's not how you read the Bible. Again, read the Bible in its context, read the promise in its context. What is the context? Where is this found? In the book of Genesis. Who is this promise given to? The one guy named Abraham, all right? Again, does that mean there's nothing that we can learn from this? No, there's a lot of things that we can learn from this. It means, you know, just as God blessed Abraham in order for him to be a blessing, the reason why God wants to bless you, and God does want to bless you, is because God wants you to be a blessing for many people. All right? So you gotta understand. It doesn't mean, by the way, that God doesn't want you to move to Singapore. Maybe God does want you to move to Singapore or Thailand or America or Canada. Just don't use this verse as your proof text. That's what I'm saying. All right? You gotta pray to God, ask Him to reveal His will to you, but do not use Genesis 12 as a confirmation. This is a confirmation from God. No, there's no such confirmation because this promise is never meant to be used in that way. Do you understand? All right? You got to read the Bible in its context. And then number two, this is how you interpret God's promises. You got to understand that some of God's promises are actually conditional. You usually know it by the conditional statements, like if, for example, like this one in the book of James. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So, God promised you that He wants to give you His wisdom. How many of you need wisdom from God? We all need wisdom from God. But this promise has two conditions. Number one, you got to admit that you lack wisdom. That's the first thing. That means you got to humble yourself. You got to admit that, God, I don't know everything here. I need your wisdom. That's condition number one. And then number two, you need to ask God for it. It's very clear from this verse. So, if you meet these two conditions, okay, that you humble yourself and admit, God, I don't know everything. I lack wisdom. I need your wisdom in my life for this particular purpose, for whatever. And then you come to God and ask God for it. God guarantees you. He's going to give you wisdom, okay? So look for the conditional statements or conditional promises of God. That's the first one. But even though you see condition statements in the promises of God, again, it doesn't mean that that promise is necessarily for you. Again, the number one rule of Bible interpretation is that you got to look at everything in context. I want to give you another example. This is a very famous verse. Some of you might know this. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven." That's the promise. "I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." All right? These verses got thrown around a lot during any time of disasters, 9/11, even right now during the global COVID-19 pandemic, and the message is always the same. America needs to repent. Australia needs to repent. We got to put the Ten Commandments back into schools. This is the reason why we are suffering. This is the reason why we're being punished by God. And the way for us to get out of this mess is for everybody to repent. America, the politicians, the leaders, everyone needs to repent. Australia needs to repent. You know, and we took it. Look at other people. Everyone needs to repent, and then God will do this because this is a conditional promise. If we meet the condition, God is going to do this. Is this true? Well, let's look at this. Where is this found? 2 Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament. That means this is the Old Covenant, okay? And who is this promise given to? It's given specifically to Solomon. I don't know if you know the context. I just did the homework for you, all right? What happened was Solomon looked at the people of Israel and they just kept sinning and sinning and sinning. And Israel was in trouble. And Solomon appealed to God, saying, "God, please, please forgive these people. Please heal our land." And this is God's answer through Solomon for the people of Israel. God says, "If my people who are called by my name will do this, then I will grant your request. I will heal their land." So, this is not a promise for us. But let's play with me for a minute. Let's humor me for a minute. Let's just assume that this is for us, okay? Let's assume this is applicable to our situation right now in the 21st century. Still, you have to be careful in reading what is being promised here. And you have to be careful to read the condition properly. What is the condition? The condition says, "If my people who are called by my name." Okay? So, this promise is given specifically for God's people. So, maybe for today's application, if you think this is applicable to us today, it's the Christians who need to repent and turn from their wicked ways back to God. Not them gays, not the politicians. By the way, them gays, that's very offensive. Don't say that. Don't use that, all right? It is you and I, if this were to be applicable to us, it is the Christians who need to repent, not the people, because the people don't know what they're doing. Jesus said from the cross, "Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." How can they repent if they don't even know, right, that they're doing something that may not be pleasing to God? It is us, the Christians, who need to repent if this is applicable to us, which I believe, I don't think this is applicable to us, okay? However, like I said before, we can always draw principle and lesson from this very, very important verse. And the lesson to me is absolutely clear, that God is the God of compassion, isn't He? And when you turn to Him, doesn't matter how far you think you've gone from God, if you turn to Him, God will always be able to restore you. God will always be gracious to you. That's the lesson that we can draw from this. But again, this is not God's promise to us. It's God's promise specifically during, even then, it's not for every Jewish people. It's given specifically during the time of the United Kingdom through Solomon to the people of Israel at the time. All right? So, what are we being promised then? As the people of the new covenant, what are we actually being promised by God? Well, I'm glad you asked. This is what we are promised by God. The promise of trouble and persecution. You want to go to the deep end? God said, I'll take you to the deep end. You're not going to like it though, because this is what God has promised, what will happen to us new covenant people. Jesus Himself says this, in this world you will have trouble. This is a certainty. This is like, you may not. You may live your whole life comfortable. No. If you have not experienced it yet now, you will experience it someday if you're a follower of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And the Apostle Paul confirmed this in 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone, now this is how we know this is applicable to us, because of that general word, everyone. That means like you and me, everybody. If everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Open doors. I'm glad today is the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Churches, because this is a reminder for all of us. This is like, we shouldn't be surprised by this. This is actually what Peter said. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through. And that fiery trials may not be, you know, guns pointed at your head. It could be in your family. It could be the situation that you're in. There are a lot of trials and tribulations and persecution happening to Christians all over the world, including here in Australia as well. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. So when you are facing hardship, temptations, trial, that's like part and parcel of living as the new covenant people. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world. So, maybe, I'm just assuming, if you're not being persecuted, maybe you haven't lived out your faith well enough. I'm not asking you to bubble bash people with the Bible. No, don't misunderstand me. But maybe you're comfortable because you have been too safe living in the shallow end. But when you apply your faith and go to the deep end, Jesus promised you, you will be persecuted, right? But this is not the only promise for new covenant people. Like these guys have prayed from the top, God promised you that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, God promised you, right, that He's going to give you the Holy Spirit to be your constant companion who lives inside of you. Romans 8, John 14, right? And God promises you something else. If you bring your temptation, your trial, your tribulation to Him, God promised you, as Chitra has prayed, to give you peace that passes all understanding. Peace that no one can understand. And the best promise of all, I'm going to close with this, the promise of eternal future with Jesus Christ. That's what being promised to you and to me as new covenant believers. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I want to give you the good news this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. Do you know that this world is very short, right? 70, 80 years, we're done. But God promised you, it doesn't have to end there. He wants to give you eternal life if you put your faith in Him. And for those of you who are already followers of Jesus Christ, listen to this wonderful promise from God through the Apostle Paul. For our light and momentary troubles, do you know? Your hardship may sound really, really hard for you right now. And I'm not taking it lightly at all. The Apostle Paul has been through so much more. You know, he's been beaten, bruised, shipwrecked, imprisoned, even beheaded for his faith. And yet he said this. He said, this trouble that I'm going through is light and momentary. I mean, it doesn't last forever. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all this hardship, all these persecutions, all this trouble that I had to go through. And then finally, one last verse. I know my time is running out, but one last verse to encourage you. Listen, this is our future together. Your future and my future. This is what's going to happen. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Behold, the new order of things have come. That's a surefire promise that you can count on, that I can count on as new covenant believers. I hope you are encouraged this morning. I hope you're not comfortable. I hope God will make you uncomfortable at the shallow end and start going at the deep end, because that's where you will see God working wonderfully in your life, not only to bless you, but the people around you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.